Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. It's two fanboys and a filthy casual back in your ear holes. This is Lewis.
This is Dennis.
This is Eric.
Ear hole, dude. You gotta be specific. I don't know where people are putting their earbuds nowadays, man. Kids, that's what I'm saying. So, welcome to a special review episode again, because we love reviews. I'm just kidding. We're gonna talk about what we're geeking out or what we've seen lately, and we're gonna take a deep dive into the news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con. You know, this is, as I've said on the internet before, Comic-Con is like our Super Bowl. It's our big, you know, weekend. Where all the geek stuff, all the nerdy stuff, streaming, films, cartoons, comic books, this is where they, you know, they go out and show everybody what's coming up for the next year.
So, and just like the Super Bowl, we can't afford.
somebody's disappointed. It's really expensive and we can't make it. And it's actually a lot easier if you just watch it from home. You know, that's what I've noticed. But we'll get into that later. So, yeah, what have you guys been up to lately? I know, you know, Dennis is back in the Philippines.
From the
Philippines, right? Harold's out of a wonderful stay out of the hospital.
Thanks, man.
You tweeted it.
I didn't.
Oh, no wonder I didn't, because I don't know the Twitter.
But that was on my personal account.
I'm up in.
It's all right.
I can't tell anymore.
I'm sorry. It's all the same thing. It's all good.
Harold went to the hospital.
Just for a few hours. Anyways.
It's a boy.
We had a baby. It's a boy. Sorry.
It's now three fanboys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, your baby was
even my baby would be a fanboy. But baby wouldn't be a casual, guys. I just had one quick thing. Have you guys heard of that TV, the new show, Gordon Ramsay Uncharted?
Yes, I have.
I have
not been able to watch it.
Tell
me it's the most racist thing in the whole world.
No, it's...
Okay.
No.
Because just watching it, I was like, that is a terrible idea for a show.
No, it's interesting because as much as a lot of the critics and a lot of the reviews keep saying that it's more or less ripping off Anthony Bourdain's No
Reservations,
exactly what
I'm
it is,
say. Okay.
It has the spirit of it, but because it's Gordon Ramsay and not Anthony Bourdain, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in, you know, when Anthony Bourdain was doing it, he was trying to be one with the people. And, you know, he would learn their customs and he would, you know, just try to do everything alongside them. Where in this kind of the show so far, the episode that I've seen, I think there's only been one so far, is Gordon Ramsay learning cooking techniques from different avenues over there. In, like, I think he was in Peru.
Okay.
So it's like learning local cuisine, how to cook it, and then basically trying to be Bobby Flay and saying, okay, I've learned your techniques and now I'm gonna challenge you
to see
if my food is as good as what you guys can produce.
That's so terrible.
Is it
cultural appropriation?
Exactly. Super cultural appropriation.
Exactly. It's like, hey, I just, you know, you're cooking? Let me show you my cooking.
You call that adobo? Here's my adobo.
So like, the thing that was, like, making me laugh in the very first episode is he's expecting it to be a regular kitchen challenge like he's used to, like, you know, reality TV kind of style. And they literally are like, no, we're cooking outdoors. There's no grill. It's just the open air, like, the rock stove. And then the grill you have is, like, the regular, like, you know, slits and everything. And you have to cook a gourmet meal from this. And it's like, he like makes his meal and then he gives it to the locals and then they critique him. And judging from the first episode, apparently things did not go too well for Gordon Ramsay. Because they were like, yeah, the way you cook this, not so good. We didn't like this one. They're like, this is the only one that we like. And then he was like, oh, I didn't make that the other guy made it. And I was just like, okay, if this is the show we're going with, I'm going to be completely entertained. But at the same time, Gordon Ramsay, when he's not being the douche that he is on...
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
...reality TV, he's actually... Like, I follow him on YouTube, where he does kind of the... It's basically a continuation of his YouTube series. If you've never seen his YouTube series, he does the same thing. He goes to different countries, learns a lot of their techniques, and then either cooks alongside people or cooks for... I think a couple of times he's been cooking for, like, royalty and whatnot. And it's just like, having the fact that it's a meal made by Gordon Ramsay in your local cuisine is kind of the catch that they're going.
Okay.
I mean, isn't that why Andrew Zimmern like got banned? Because he was kind of criticizing like Chinese food. that their version of Chinese food is not authentic, and therefore my version of it is better. That's exactly what's going on, and that's why Andrew Zimmern has no more show.
Yeah,
you know, he's just doing reruns. Yeah,
exactly.
But he's making millions off those reruns.
Yes. I'm interested to watch this because, like, as a casual viewer, like, I don't follow his YouTube, but, you know, Gordon Ramsay's known for his, like, temper and how he cusses and all that stuff. Like, that's part of his appeal or part of his shtick. You know, my wife and I watch Hell's Kitchen and MasterChef, where that's, like, half of his shtick is guiding the cooks, and then the rest of the time is literally, like, berating them to the point of tears. So I can't imagine him yelling at poor, you know, whoever's cooking in Peru.
So the thing that I've learned about the apparent internet and television personality that is Gordon Ramsay is, on the internet and also on this show, it's like watching MasterChef, except for the parts where he's being mean. So the actual times where he's actually kind of nice, you know, mm-hmm. the ones where he's like actually encouraging,
yeah,
that's the version that you're getting so far.
Okay.
So, I mean,
there's only so much criticism a man can get. So at a certain point, by season 6 in the Philippines,
someone's about to be like hitting him on the side of the head with a 2x4. And be like, is that tender enough for you, Gordon? Tell me if this is the temperature that you needed. When I start choking you, what face, what color is the chili supposed to be? So yeah, if you guys check it out, just let us know, or let me know at least, you know, what you guys really think about it.
Okay. What channel is it on?
It is on Nat Geo.
Nat Geo. Okay.
Which is, you know,
National Geographic.
Yeah, that too. But okay. Most of the times we get, like, you know, if it's not on Discovery, if it's not on the Travel Channel, right, or not on the Food Network, then they don't really have too many food-centric television shows.
Yeah, which, by the way, is it me or is Discovery Channel dying because Anthony Bourdain's gone?
I know.
Andrew Zimmern's gone.
Yeah,
there's really nothing. Like, every time I check out Discovery Channel, it's like Haunted Mansion or
Ancient Ghost Aliens.
Hey, Aliens is great, man.
That's on History Channel.
Oh, dang it. Never mind. Sorry, Discovery.
Just like Gordon Ramsay's food.
Yeah.
We don't know whose it is.
All right. Cool. So that's what you're watching. Anything else that you guys have seen? I mean, we talked about you guys have seen some movies lately. Got any hot takes?
I've had a lot of movies that I watched. I mentioned last episode, you know, I came back from the Philippines, and Philippine Airlines, shout out to Philippine Airlines. You know, I actually borrowed a tablet from Harold with, you know, movies, just because I 13, 14 hours, I needed to be entertained. But
shut those for your daughter, by the way.
I mean, for my daughter. And
that's why I loaded it with all kids' movies.
And yeah, you know, but it ended up I only used it a couple times, and I was in my house because there was no internet connection and they didn't have TV, so that's when the only time I used it. But I got to watch Alita Battle Angel. Got to watch Bohemian Rhapsody. Isn't it romantic? All those movies were pretty cool. But when I came back, the one movie that I was really excited to watch, because I knew Harold, this was going to be Harold's one movie. And I'm shocked you didn't watch it, Harold. The movie is Lion King.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Harold, Harold said he hasn't watched it. So I honestly don't know how much or how far I should talk about it.
Just like, talk about the, because like we talked about earlier, there's no real big spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that there's less singing, right?
Yes.
Wait, they're still singing?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, bleep that out.
Let's see. Every single, the original
except for
opening.
Be Prepared is there.
Be Prepared is there.
It is?
It is
there. Oh, I heard that they took it out.
It's there. They had a thing. That's Be Prepared. They had Can't Wait to Be a King. They had
Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Yeah, they had every single song there. Was it good? You know, that's the funny part. Is normally I'm the one where Harold's usually criticizing like the music and everything. But this is me going, is that good? Not quite sure. So a couple of things. Like the story itself remains the same.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it a shot per shot movie. Remake because there were some things that they changed, some additions to it. I'm pretty sure you guys heard they tried to make Nala, Beyonce's character,
hot.
Awkward.
That's awkward. Weird. But tried to kind of extend it a little bit more, give it a little bit more depth. You know, but overall, you know, it's still the same. The voice actors, Mufasa was really good. James Earl Jones still has it.
Still, but, sure.
I don't know. Maybe it's, and I think that's the thing that this has a lot to do against it, just the nostalgia factor. You know, the fact that they didn't really change anything, I think, is what hurts it. And so you have so many things to compare to. I'm not going to spoil everything, but the two things that I want to talk about. One is, Jon Favreau, is that his name?
Yes.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Jon Favreau.
Okay, just
checking. You're saying Jon Favreau like he's Martian Manhunter, dude.
Like his name in the movies now is Happy Hogan.
No, but Jon Favreau, you know, I kind of posted a little article on Two Fanboys.
Yes, you did.
The Casual, mm-hmm. And I kind of talked about where he was so insistent on making it real, to make it as grounded as possible. And I think it hurt it. It hurt it. Because one of the things that made Lion King so special was the emotion of the movie. This one, because it's just freaking lions talking, there were moments where because they had their backs turned and sideways, you could barely see who was talking.
Really?
Yeah, because interesting. It's just so, there's only so much that you can make a lion.
Yeah,
because
they're not doing giant like, ah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. They're not exaggerated.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, so if it's just regular conversation to Mufasa, between Mufasa and Simba, it was just two lions looking at each other.
Oh.
There were moments where I was like, are they telepathic?
Yeah. You know. At least they weren't thought bubbles.
Yeah. And the other thing, and along the same lines, is that they were taught, you know, initially, Jon Favreau was asked, are you going to try to put the colors? Are you going to make Scar's mane black? Are you going to make Mufasa's hair, you know, different compared to Simba?
Yeah.
And he said, no, we're going to keep it real. And I think that hurt it a couple times.
Oh, okay.
So there was one scene in particular that I just died, where, you know, one of the most powerful moments in the movie is where, Rafiki brings Simba to the water, and he looks at the water and says, that's not my father, you know, and Rafiki goes, look closer, and then he presses the water,
right,
and then the ripple happens and Mufasa's face comes out. And I still remember that in the movie where there's here's Simba's face, all of a sudden it's Mufasa's face.
Yeah.
This one, he goes, look closer, and I was like, did it change?
Maybe. Was there still Mufasa in the clouds?
Yes.
Or was it Simba in the clouds?
We're not sure.
It was a cloud.
Was there still dust that said sex in it?
Like, kind of shows you. And again, I hate to just belabor the point, but during the scene where at the very end, where all the lionesses are coming together, my daughter goes, which one's Nala?
Did you tell her it's the one lioness that leaves the other two lionesses in the back?
Oh, zing!
Sorry, Destiny's Child joke. Take that. You were ready for that jelly, huh?
Your face, Kelly Rowland.
So, it was like the Michael Bay Transformers situation. You couldn't tell which one was which. So there was one point where, at the very end, where Simba goes and nuzzles with one of the lionesses. And I'm like, is that Nala or is that...
Is he cheating?
Mother Rando.
Is it mom?
Is that Michelle?
Not quite sure.
Oh, yeah, he's the mom. Oh, God.
Because you couldn't tell.
Hey, Animal Kingdom, man. It's realistic.
And the other thing that I have to tell you, crap, I already had the guy's name, but somebody, whoever was a composer for a lot of like the more modern songs in Lion King, they were talking about
Mencken?
Like,
oh, you're talking about
like hip hop artist. So he was talking about how Seth Rogen needed a lot of help because Seth Rogen is tone deaf in the movie. He's tone deaf.
Oh no!
Like they, like maybe they.
It's just me. I'm talking like
maybe this. maybe they tried to, you know,
auto-tune it.
Did he do When I Was a Young Warthog?
It was terrible. Like,
okay, this is why I'm not done.
There were notes that did not exist that he hit.
Singing the brown note the whole time? But I heard Billy Eichner was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. He was really good. His version of Mufasa. Mufasa.
Oh my god, plot twist! Damn it, John Favreau.
His version of Timon is actually pretty funny. Timon and Pumbaa were the one group that actually changed some of the conversation and what they're talking about. But overall, I honestly liked Aladdin better than this. It was a thing, and I hate to say it, and I can't wait for us to get back together and when Harold finally watches this movie, and I really want to take a deep dive.
Next episode, I'll watch it. Just, I think, like, we'll talk about it a little bit. I'm a completionist, and it just needs to be seen. Yeah,
and just brace yourself, is all I'm saying.
Man, I don't know if I want to take the kids to watch this anymore. Because the kids want to watch it.
Yeah. And my daughter liked it.
Okay, so it's a difference of generation thing.
Yeah.
So I know we're about talking about trailers in a little bit regarding Comic-Con and whatnot, but they also released a trailer for Mulan. I think since the last time we did this, because we talked about Little Mermaid before, but since then we've seen the actual teaser trailer for the live-action Mulan. And a lot of the complaints that people have been getting is there's not enough, and it sounds weird, there's no Mushu in the trailer.
Hey, I always need me some Mushu.
Yeah, you know, everybody needs some Mushu.
Mushu delicious.
And this is weird. I was talking to my niece about this because we were watching Mulan over the weekend. And I told her, I hope to God that the live action version is nothing like this. Because I would like to see a Mulan that is an action movie that has pieces of music in the background. As opposed to it being a musical. With action as the back piece.
Kind of like a transition, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, you don't want... I'll Make a Man Out of You.
I do want that playing in the background. Well, that's the montage song, right?
But no singing.
But not them singing it, unless Donny Osmond is singing it. But in terms of what I liked about seeing that Mulan thing was it looks like an actual action movie. Like...
Yeah.
For once, it doesn't have like that. Like I keep saying about the whole Aladdin thing, and I was talking about the Lion King thing as well, and Beauty and the Beast. Shot for shot, I don't like it.
Yeah.
We don't need it. The unnecessary live action remake.
Yeah, you're right. They don't do anything beyond what it's supposed to be. You're right. I think one thing I like, and we talked about this, even though you thought it was a piece of garbage, the one thing I liked about Aladdin is that they changed it enough that there was a reason, a purpose for it. Lion King, unfortunately, did not. There was, even Nala's portion.
Really?
Yeah.
How are you going to pay Beyonce and just give a meh?
It's really, they did it for the name, and then they screwed up in saying, why did we give the one person who's like bigger than everybody else in this cast combined,
the smallest role.
Yeah. Where Timon and Pumbaa have more lines than she does.
The funny part is, did you hear about the cast picture?
No.
The cast picture, John Oliver outed it that the whole cast picture, she's photoshopped in it.
Wow.
And so if you take a look at the cast picture, everybody's there and she's, for some reason, behind
like a floating head.
Yeah. And floating, like, bodies there. But, you know, people are wondering, and John Oliver is like, yep, she wasn't there.
I mean, she's busy.
She's Beyonce.
Yeah. I mean, you could say the same thing about everybody else in there. It's John Oliver.
It's Childish Gambino. Yeah. We sound like a Simpsons episode, sorry. Oliver!
Sounds like a really bad movie where they're like, hey, it's a cameo.
Yeah.
So Dennis saw The Lion King, and then while Lewis
I saw something. Huh? I saw something.
You saw some version of The Lion King.
That wasn't The Lion King.
It was, that's a hot take. It was Jon Favreau's Lion King.
There you go.
But I saw, when I was telling you guys before, I am a completionist. And even sometimes that gets the worst of me.
And even though you almost got mugged.
I thought I was going to get murdered while watching the movie. But for completion's sake, and for this podcast and for my friendship here, I took one for the team and I watched Dark Phoenix.
Ouch. Sorry. Thank you for taking this bullet.
You know, it turns out Philippine Airlines didn't have it.
See, even Philippine Airlines. No.
No, thank you.
Okay. First of all, the venue I watched it at, a lot different from the last time I watched it. I used to watch it older movies at the Regency in North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
They do, you know, movies that have been out for like a couple of weeks or like a month already. So they'll do it like at a discount. So on Sundays, they show movies for $2. So I was like, I'm going to watch a movie for $2 on a Sunday afternoon when it's 100 degrees in the valley. And apparently everybody else who doesn't have air conditioning thought that was a good idea too. Because they were charging their phones. They're feeding their babies.
Oh.
And they're watching their pets. And they were charging their wheelchairs. Yeah. And they really took advantage of those dollar hot dogs.
It's a great endorsement for this part.
Those people.
Was the Dark Phoenix movie better than this movie theater?
No. Okay, so. I've read. Obviously, we've heard all the reviews and all the negative things about the movie. It's not as bad as everyone makes it out to be, but it is not a good movie.
Ouch.
And you know how they have the whole, you're supposed to go out with a bang. Yeah. This is the opposite of that, where there's no villain. And the two most compelling characters from the past couple movies are barely in the movie at all.
Oh, so Professor X and Magneto.
No, Professor X is in this movie too much.
Oh, okay.
For my liking.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Lawrence?
Jennifer Lawrence is hardly in the movie.
And Magneto.
No. Who do you think, who's, like, besides the main characters, who would you find the most entertaining X-Men?
Oh, Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, not enough of him?
Not any of at wow. all of him.
He wasn't there?
Maybe the CGI was too expensive.
So look at this is literally okay.
He was standing there.
So Jennifer Lawrence, big actress, mm-hmm. and we had contemplated for probably gonna get murdered. Totally murdered.
murdered.
Wait, we talked about this before?
No, we talked about the trailer. We were discussing.
Oh, okay. I thought
not just Jennifer Lawrence getting murdered.
I thought as a person, I was like,
No.
We have never talked about this, guys.
That'd be really bad. But when we watched the trailer and we did like our trailer discussion, because at the time we thought it was going to be a good movie.
We did?
We had hopes.
We had hopes.
Yeah, because we thought like anything should be better than X-Men 3.
Yeah, and we were wrong.
So we thought.
It was pretty bad. Like Jennifer Lawrence literally dies pretty much the same way that Logan died, where like she gets her heart like stabbed through.
Ouch. Okay.
But, you know, she gets forced into it by Phoenix.
She did get murdered.
She gets murdered.
Okay. Totally.
This is Quicksilver's whole thing in the movie. He does one sequence,
mm-hmm.
and then when the fight comes, someone takes the steps away from him, so he falls, and he's out of the movie.
Wow.
This is the first 20 minutes of the movie.
And that's when Harold walked out.
And that one, I would have, but the wheelchairs are black and white.
Somebody's stroller was in the way.
There was a baby. Damn, there was a baby pushing its own stroller, and I got confused.
Hey, baby, go home.
But like, it was like so they have Magneto basically making his own Genosha.
Okay.
But not but not specifically saying anything.
Was it organic?
Yeah,
Genosha. Yeah.
It's never explicitly explained. You don't explain why he's not bad. You don't explain why Jessica Chastain is in the movie at all. It is a muddled piece of crap.
Wow.
And there is no real action sequences to redeem it besides the one Phoenix force in the beginning. That's it.
Really?
Literally, after that, I fell asleep, I think, four times. because it was all McAvoy like doing exposition.
Sounds painful,
dude. That's that should be our next podcast name: McAvoy, McAvoy Exposition. Patent pending. You know,
that's actually my
McAvoy favorite. McAvoy Exposition. That's also a Coachella.
My favorite position is the McAvoy Exposition. So if you want to, like me, if you ever felt the need to finish off a movie series, like like I watched The Hangover 3 for no reason other than
begrudgingly
to complete stuff.
I actually liked that one.
It was a thing. So it's kind of the same thing where it's like they have all these expectations. Like I remember making jokes about like, oh yeah, what song is Quicksilver going to do?
I was going to ask. That was going to be my question. Nothing. But yes. Nothing?
It was...
He fell, remember?
Oh. He fell.
He Barry Allen.
They had a great sequence with him and Nightcrawler in the X-Jet in space.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it. That was the best part of the movie.
Music doesn't go in space, I guess.
In space, no one can hear you sing. So that was literally the whole thing. And...
That's tragic, because that's like his whole shtick. Like,
Well, everybody's whole thing about the movie was... Remember what entertained you about the first two movies? Forget everything.
Really? Good characterization, fun.
And you know,
I more McAvoy.
You know how we did our usual thing where it's like, Dennis' usual thing is like, is there anything after the end credits? I didn't even bother. For the first time, I was like, where's the exit?
Move.
Excuse me, baby.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I was like, oh, is your wheelchair fully charged? Okay, because I'm going to steal it real quick. That's the fastest way out of here. Yeah.
Wow. So that sucks because this is the last Fox X-Men movie before Disney folds it in. So it sucks for
What if that was the intention?
Oh, I think, you know, right. They were saying
thank you, dude.
The other one that they're doing is...
New Mutants.
And they're saying that is going to be bad.
Was that the horror one?
Yeah, the one that looks like a horror movie.
So they had to reshoot that because they were saying that the trailer was too scary. So...
Yeah, you know, the horror movie, a little too scary, guys.
You know,
tone it down.
Let's take out more of Pennywise. We don't need that guy.
Jeez. Then McAvoy's going to be their exposition.
Well, McAvoy's in It too, so, you know.
Is he really in The Mutants?
No, he's in It too.
Though. Oh, It.
He's the main character in It
yes,
too.
Yes, right? Too.
It as well. It too.
But then, it's great because remember when First Class came out, I watched it with you guys because you were like, hey, let's go watch First Class.
You told us to go see it.
No, you told me to go watch it.
No, you told me to go see it. Somebody
so we watched it.
Actually, no. I love that movie because somebody put their nerd cred on the line. I think we were playing
Tennis. No, we were playing golf. Like,
yes. God, I was going to say.
That's the last time we played golf, by the way.
I was going to say, it sounds like such old man stuff. We were at the golf course or at the driving range. And somebody put it up.
Dennis
like,
said that.
Yes, I think it was Dennis. Like, I put my nerd cred on the line. You guys are going to enjoy this. And I always went there like, well, I'm going to take this fool's nerd credit. And then I walked away like, damn it, you're right. It was a good movie. Stupid McAvoy. Fassbender.
See, that was like the chemistry.
That was the highlight of those.
Yeah, the chemistry that those two had in the first two movies are just gone.
Oh.
Because when they experience each other in this movie, it's like,
are they even in the same movie?
You barely have them in scene. I don't know.
That's too bad. Because, yeah, you're right. The strength of the first two movies was definitely their interaction. You know, the whole will they, won't they. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, will they, won't they with Mystique.
Yeah. Yikes. Will Mystique turn into one of them? That's on my fanfic on Tumblr. Wow. So go find me. Upvote me for Reddit. Thanks, guys. Anyway, so it sounds like you guys had a very mixed weekend. So for me, I mean, like I alluded to in the beginning, I was lucky enough to be able to go to Comic-Con. So first off, full disclosure, shout out to my brother and my sister and my brother-in-law because I did not plan. I did not get badges for this Comic-Con.
Badges?
We actually needed badges.
We needed badges. I know for once we needed badges. So, you know, my brother, my sister, and my brother-in-law were awesome enough to share their badges for Saturday.
Okay, wait. Before
go for it.
Before we even... is it we're not trying hard enough, or
it's just so convoluted now? Because
your family seems to have gone, like, the last couple of years.
They've been. But this is actually the first year that they were able to go all 4 days. It's weird because I had to ask them, like, so how did this happen? So basically what you do is you have to set up a login from on the Comic-Con website. So you get your own ID. You get Dennis.Yumel, Harold.Galingay. And then you have to wait for a lobby, or you have to go to an online lobby. And then when you get into the online lobby, they give you, if you're lucky enough, or if you get through or whatever, if your computer's fast enough, they give you a number or a date where you have to come back and then pay for what days they give you. So the fact that they got 4 days is actually, for them, it was lucky, because the last few years, they were only given, like, oh, we can only give you Thursday, Friday, Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This was the first time that they got all 4 days. So it was kind of a, you know, it was a lucky day for them for this year. They had to, you know, drop a good amount of money. Like, when I asked them, I mean, I unfortunately can't remember exactly, but the per day badge cost was not that bad. I'm thinking, like, Laker game, Dodger game expensive, like 80, 90 bucks. You know, my threshold is, like, how much does it cost to go to Disneyland? 100 something per person? It's actually cheaper than
the per. Wait, the Laker games are $80?
Naive person, you.
Well, no, I mean, that's the ceiling. And then, of course, you have to pay for food and stuff. But what I'm saying is that...
Wait, what Laker games are you going to for $80?
No, remember, he's a Clipper fan.
Oh, sorry, I don't know. What do you people want to pay for?
I can't afford it. I'm a teacher.
Yeah,
watch it on TV. So I think it's actually like 60 or 70 bucks a day, which is still kind of steep for that kind of entertainment. But, you know, you do get in with the cool kids and you get to see all that stuff. So, and then that's just to get the badges. And then what, excuse me, my sister and my brother-in-law actually work for the Marriott Corporation. They couldn't even get hotels. The hotels are another lottery. So you have to show that you're going to the Comic-Con, and then you get put into the lottery, and then hopefully you get a hotel. Otherwise, you're staying in Oceanside, or like I did, I stayed in Old Town, which is not that bad. It's about 20 minutes drive from there to the convention center. And then not to mention, there's also a lot of for parking. So there's a lot of weird, like, luck has to do with it. It used to be, it sounds like old man again, because I remember when we used to go, you could literally, like, pay for the badges a day before, pick it up, drive down there, and then you're at the convention.
Oh, the first time I went, I didn't even know what, I mean, I knew what Comic-Con was, yeah, but I was like, oh, it's this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I remember going there, buying the ticket right then and there, yeah, and I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, but now it's totally nuts. So, I mean, we'll segue to the, but this is my first time at Comic-Con, and about my eldest, who I used to bring a lot more often, was kind to remind me, it's been 5 years since we've gone. I was like, wow, okay, it's been a while. It used to be, it was just like a jokey, like, oh, they shut down the whole gas lamp downtown this year for the Comic-Con. This time around, they literally do shut it down. Like, the streets are barricaded. If you were to take an Uber or a cab from your hotel to the convention, they have to drop you off blocks away. You walk down a couple blocks. You walk past all the installations and all the activations, what they call it, and to get to the convention floor. So, yeah.
That sounds ridiculous.
It's nuts. So, you know, it's a lot of people. My family was awesome enough to lend me some badges. So hopefully Comic-Con doesn't hear this and ban me for future badges.
Because they're going to find one guy.
I know, right? I'm sure. I'm telling you, like, half of those people probably were on, like, fake badges. Like,
oh,
I
saw, I'm like, sure,
those grown dudes with beards. Like, that's a child badge.
When I went, I always remember when I went, my badge said my buddy's wife's name. So if they asked me what my name was, I'm going to say, oh, it's French. Like, Jean Favreau. I was like, oh, my name is Marianne. Not Marianne, but Marianne.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're French? Yeah, from the Philippines.
So, yeah, I mean, so got to go on Saturday. For my experience, it was crowded as heck. It was nuts. Like, it's, I'll post it on our Facebook and our Instagram and all of our social media, but I have a video. It's a literal ocean of human beings, and it is nuts. I feel bad.
This was Saturday.
So, I mean, yes, Saturday is the busiest day. My brother and my sister did, tell me Thursday and Friday were a lot, you know, easier to maneuver, because obviously that's when I guess there's less people around. But yeah, it was full force humanity at its craziest. The floor itself was great. I mean, it's Comic-Con. So, you know, these companies go all out and put these huge installations and these huge booths and these huge wraps, I guess, where they're covering hotels with whatever new show or whatever movie they're trying to promote. So, yeah, that was, from a senses point of view, like, I was overwhelmed. In a good way, kind of like, you know, you see all these things that you don't usually. So yeah, that was my experience. I mean, it was fun. It was great for the hours that we were there. Legs were killing me by the end of the day. But here's my only thing.
How's your back?
My back was actually, ironically, my back was fine. Thank you very much for asking. Also, great dining experience at the Lion Share. Ding. Oh wait, we're not a video. Damn it. But so yeah, I guess to wrap the whole thing up, the experience was great.
So what's the Lion's Share?
The Lion's Share is
really plugging this right now.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
It's one of the restaurants that one of our followers manages to a T. He's such a great guy. Wonderful food, actually, really was legit. Like, not to knock our follower and your brother, but it's like. Spoilers!
Wow! Yeah. How about we start off? We restarted this whole. So what's this whole Lion Share thing?
Lion Share is great. Go check it out.
It's downtown great.
There you go.
And actually, that was the crazy part too. Is so like at night. We stayed overnight of Saturday to Sunday, but even though the convention itself closed at 6:30. The whole downtown, again, was taken over because even Lion Share, which was, a great restaurant, great experience, they actually got bought out, or I guess that's a restaurant term. They got bought out, started from 9 o'clock till like 1 in the morning, where one of these companies bought the restaurant out. You know, we got our food, we got service, we had a lot of fun time, but then they said, okay, thank you very much, you got to go, because private event. And literally every other restaurant in downtown had some kind of private event, or some kind of show. Like Kevin Smith has taken over one of the biggest theaters downtowns for his podcast with Ralph Garman. So he took over there. Like even, like I mentioned, I've been there the whole afternoon. Like around 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, the line was already outside of the theater for like an 8 o'clock podcast recording, which is nuts to me. So, you know, that one, I think Chris Hardwick had a show too, The Nerdist, and all the other like bigger, you know, companies had some kind of thing going on downtown. So
how's the line for us?
The what?
For our package.
It was a line of one. It was a line of one.
Let's be honest.
We could probably find a corner and it's like, we have a show.
Let's be honest. If we ever did a live recording, I think we could pull a good audience of like, I think we'd 20 be entertaining. To 30 people.
You think?
Yeah. Because there's three of us, and all we need is, like, you know, two friends each.
You get two, and then those two get two.
Yeah.
Ponzi.
We'll see.
Ponzi scheme.
Well, there you go. There's news. Next year.
And next year.
Look for Fanboys of Filthy Casual?
The tour.
Comic-Con.
Look for us on the corner of F Street and Main.
Lion Share.
I know.
Live from the Lion Share.
Live from the Lion Share.
Ooh. Don't you know the guy?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I'll talk to him. He's pretty handsome.
So besides that, let's talk about the news that came out of Comic-Con. Like I said earlier, it's kind of our Super Bowl big event. So let's start with the
news.
Yeah. So let's start off with the biggest part of that weekend. Marvel.
No, wait, let me guess.
Yes.
There were actually comic book announcements.
You wish. Okay. Nerd.
No, there was.
Marvel
actually announced a couple of comic books.
Marvel 2099. That was kind of cool. And then Jonathan Hickman's. Wow.
X-Men.
A relaunch starts this week. So that was big news. But yeah, like the one that is making its rounds and making the internet go gaga is Marvel Cinematic Universe just announced Phase 4.
Phase 4.
So yeah, before Spider-Man even gets to Blu-ray or in a home video, they've already talked about the next bunch of movies. So I'm going to list them all off and then let's talk. Let's see where this is going to go. So... first off, here's the interesting part. I'm going to split the slate in half. One half is the ones coming out in the movie theaters. The other half is going to be the ones exclusive to Disney Plus, the new streaming service that starts this November, December, yeah. Something like that, right? So the movies, we have...
Before you start, I don't know if you read this already,
uh-huh.
But which, like, and I don't know, maybe I'm being preemptive here, but, you know, one of the things that people are talking about is that, you know, we did a review about Spider-Man Far From Home, mm-hmm. and one of the things that they kind of tease is the idea of the multiverse. That,
yes.
You know, Mysterio claimed there was, but then all of a sudden in the end, he's like, nope, it's just a trick.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to listen to these,
yep.
these things and try to figure out, is this part of the multiverse?
Mm-hmm.
Considering one of Doctor Strange.
It's called the multiverse.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly it. I know. So when they announced it, I was like, wait a second. So Mysterio was onto something. So we'll start off with that. The next one of the movies coming out is Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, starring Elizabeth
Shue.
Yes.
The time. I would watch that movie.
No, wouldn't you?
She was just like in Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, yeah. Thor in that one too, by the way.
Yes.
Starring her and Elizabeth Olsen. So it's going to be Doctor Strange and the Scarlet Witch. We have Thor, Love and Thunder, the Black Widow movie, Eternals, and one that I'm kind of personally excited for, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. So those are the movies. Those are the movies.
So you want to go one by one?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Is it Fantastic Four?
Well, no, that's Phase 5.
That's
rumored Phase 5.
Yeah, okay. So hypothetically, I mean, we're skipping ahead, but Blade and Fantastic Four are going to be Phase 5.
Okay.
We don't know yet.
Right, yeah, we don't know
yet. We know that they're coming.
We know that.
But we don't know.
So we know the Blade is coming.
Yes. We know that Mahershala Ali. Marshmallow Ali will be Blade.
Oh, which, by the way, real quick, since we're talking about Marshmallow, I was listening to, of course, AM radio.
Of course.
And I was listening to
Did you miss it while you were gone?
I did. I was especially considering that was when the whole, like, you know,
the sports
where is he going to go?
Yeah,
is he going to Clippers or Lakers? No, I was listening to, not Kevin Smith, wow. I was listening to Mason in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And Mason do you guys hear that Blade? That there's gonna be a new Blade movie? I was like, ooh, they're trying to be hip.
Uh-huh.
And Ireland goes, who's gonna be playing? He goes, and Mason goes, Idris Elba.
No.
And I was waiting for I was waiting for a correction, and for a good 15 minutes they were like, oh, I love his work, you know. They started going on, and
nice.
they kept on going, yeah, I can't wait for him to be in Blade. I was like, ooh.
Oh, they needed LZ for that segment, didn't they? LZ would have corrected them. Excuse me, guys, wrong black guy.
Yes. Okay, sorry. Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, Ireland and Mason. Okay, so yeah, those are the movies coming out. So what are we most excited for? What are we, like, on the fence for? And where do you think we're going to go with these?
I don't know if we talked about Doctor Strange too much, but it was not one of my favorite MCU movies.
Yeah, I think that came out before the podcast. So, yeah,
It was okay, but it was, aside from like the special effects, that it was basically Inception, you know.
Yeah.
I really didn't think much of it. So that one, I was kind of, the only reason why it piqued my interest is because of the fact that it has actually said the word multiverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one that kind of, came out. Eternals, I'm pretty excited about just because Maleficent is there. but I originally thought, what do you call this? Ted Logan was going to be there.
Keanu Reeves.
I thought Keanu Reeves was going to be there, and I guess I was wrong.
I don't know. Maybe they're waiting for him to be Silver Surfer, dude.
Because they've been talking about how they've been wanting him to be
This is the year of Keanu,
MCU character. But out of the whole thing, the one I'm really excited about, and we kind of talked about this on our Facebook page, is that I'm really excited about Love and Thunder. I think that's what it's called, right?
Yes. Thor, Love and Thunder. So Thor 4.
Because of the fact that I thought that they misused, you know, Jane Foster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first movie, they really didn't give, they kind of gave him an opportunity to connect with Thor, but it was mostly an action thing. So it was one of those things where it's like, you know, till next time. Mm-hmm. And then the second time around, she became the damsel in distress.
She became the MacGuffin.
Yeah. And then the third one, she wasn't even
non-existent. Anymore, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think this is a great opportunity, especially for, you know, for comic book fans out there. If you don't know, one of the greatest runs of Thor recently recently. It has been a recent run. And one of the reasons why I really loved reading is because of the fact that they used Jane Foster, where mm-hmm. Jane Foster becomes the newest Thor, where Thor becomes unworthy. And Mjolnir, I can't believe I said the word, actually came and presented himself to Jane Foster. Mm-hmm. Jane Foster became the newest Thor.
Right.
I'm hoping that they don't need to follow it, because they've already done the whole Thor was unworthy for a while, you know, in the first movie. They don't need to follow, but I think it would be cool to kind of make, you know, especially with, it seems like Marvel's idea of inclusivity mm-hmm. Is here, considering that Thor is... might be with the Guardians as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool to kind of make this about her. I think that would be groundbreaking as hell. You know, we have before, like, we have the Black Widow movie. Hell, give it another woman-led franchise, and I think that would be a cool thing to do.
I agree. And I also kind of like how... I mean, technically, the precedent has been set. You know, in Endgame, that was one of the... best parts is when Captain America lifts the hammer. So, you know, the MCU has teased the fact that anyone who is worthy can lift the hammer of Thor. So, yeah, it's there. I'd love to find out how they turn Jane, or how Jane is worthy in this sense. And
or where they get the
hammer. Oh, you're right. Absolutely.
Has to go. Cap had to return it.
Yes, and the current Mjolnir is obviously broken because of Hela. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Oops,
Hela broken.
The joke's been made a year ago.
Still good, though.
Still good, still good. It's up. Still good. So that's the one you're most excited for? How about you, H? Which one of these?
I think, yeah, more than anything, the prospect of actually making the Doctor Strange movies entertaining.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? I saw that movie twice in theaters. Because I saw it with you guys?
No.
No, I didn't. I saw it with... one set of friends, and then the next day...
The real friends.
Yeah, my real friends.
Not the podcast friends.
Yeah. But then the next day, my other friends were like, hey, let's watch this in 3D, and I was like, I watched it last night, this movie seems like it should be built for 3D. And
did you throw up or something?
No.
It's built for, like, having it with edibles, dude.
No, totally. it's built for edibles first, when and snacking minutes. On them while watching in 3D, and just going, Dormammu! but it was a thing. It was super transitional. It was literally just
felt like Thor 2 or whatever.
It wasn't even that. It was just like a movie. Here's a movie called Doctor Strange that we're introducing just so when he shows up in Avengers,
it'll make
you're like, oh.
Like, it made Ant-Man seem like an important part of the MCU.
Yeah.
Hey.
And he ended up being a somewhat important part of them. And then, like, you know, so, like we discussed in the last episode, having an MCU multiverse it was obviously brought up in Endgame. And now, if they're going through with it, it just might be something interesting. Him going through, you know, different parts of time and space, seeing what's different, or just different experiences. I think that could be something fun. That's something that's more his speed, as opposed to being, you know, an actual hero where it's like he's going out and, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Thor, they're having Taika Waititi come back. That's the best news that they could have for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he changed the tone of that series, and if they, you know, went off with someone else, it'd just feel wrong. So... yeah, and the sad thing is, it's like, those are properties that are already been created, and we've seen the characters for a few movies now, and we're more excited for that than for the new ones.
Yeah.
And it's like, they have that whole task of building up our expectations, or building up the possibilities for the potential for the new movies, where it should be kind of like the whole Guardians thing, where no one was expecting anything from the beginning, but the more you saw of it, you're like, okay, this looks interesting, and then bam, now they're superstars.
Yeah,
so hopefully it's like that.
Yeah.
The last movie that you're talking about is Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited? Here, let me do a preface it this way. Aside from the fact that it's an Asian character, are you actually excited for it?
I'm totally on the fence. I don't, like you premised, you know, we talked about it before, Asian American Studies, even though the guy who they chose to play Shang-Chi is Canadian Asian Canadian, Chinese Canadian.
Damn you, Canada!
Taking all the good actors. But you know, I mean,
Logan was Australian, so it's cool.
Yeah, they're taking all the good parts. I auditioned for it. I did not. But I'm intrigued. Part of me though, like I love the subtitle and the Ten Rings because it's assuming that it's going to be the Mandarin who is like a classic Iron Man villain. It goes back to what we talked about in the Spider-Man Far From Home reviews. Like, how many people did Tony Stark piss off? Because like this guy, you know, they talked about the Ten Rings from the first movie. That's the terrorist organization from the first movie was supposed to be connected with the Ten Rings, and then 10-11 years later, here's the big payoff. So and then like talking about Guardians, like Harold just said, this is like Eternals and Shang-Chi are kind of on that weird bubble of like, I hope they pull off what they did with Guardians and make it shine and make it its own thing and make it amazing. But unfortunately, on the other side of things, we've also seen how Marvel Disney have pulled off the Inhumans, which was a big flat. You know, no, they were supposed to be the next X-Men in a sense because they didn't have the X-Men back then, and they were going to be this next franchise of superheroes that don't have to, you don't have to explain much about the powers, but you know, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Eternals doesn't exactly have a lot of cachet with fans. I mean, unless you're like a real deep cut Jack Kirby fan.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be a tough uphill battle. So hopefully they can pull it off.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think way before this podcast, I remember when Iron Man first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of those people who were like, oh,
Iron Man? Yeah.
Okay, cool. That might be interesting. Mm-hmm. And then when Cap came about, you know, oh, Cap, okay, cool. Yeah,
could be
and
corny, but
yeah. MCU turned, was able to turn it. But I can't imagine, and maybe this is why I'm not a executive in, you know, in Hollywood, but I'm trying to picture, what can you do with Shang-Chi to me? Like, I've read some of the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
There's really nothing compelling about it.
I know. It's like in a world of like gods and his guardians and then aliens. I was like, this is the guy who does really good kung fu.
What's your superpower?
I know. Kung fu, really good.
Really good martial arts.
In slippers.
I mean, even Taskmaster has the ability to copy people's moves. You know?
Exactly. It's like, anything? Nothing? All right.
Which, by the way, Black Widow. Did you mention Black Widow?
Yes, I did mention Black Widow. So that'd be interesting too, because obviously at the end of Endgame, Black Widow bites the dust, unfortunately. So we'll see how it goes. Because I thought they were going to reboot it with a whole new character, but at Comic-Con...
No, it's in between.
It's in between.
In between Civil War and Infinity War.
Yeah, because I also read that they're finally going to explain that whole in joke. It was a joke between her.
Thing?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. They're going to finally explain Budapest, you know, which has been referenced since the first Avengers movie. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. I wonder if it's going to be like a flashback of her remembering these things while she's falling.
Yeah,
on Vormir.
So where is Black Widow in terms of continuity?
Oh, she's dead.
No, thank you. No, is it before or after Doctor Strange?
I don't know.
Oh, what? That's it. Oh, you mean?
Oh, and like in order? Yeah. I don't remember.
Okay, because again, one of the things that people are speculating is the fact that could it be possible if we do have the multiverse, then that means some of these movies might exist outside the plane of you know, the MCU. And so maybe, just maybe, this might be a chance for Natasha Romanoff to come back somebody else, as Natasha from another MCU.
Okay. Well, to jump in and answer your question, according to the timeline that's been going around, Black Widow is actually going to be the first one.
Oh, he's screwed.
Coming out of everything.
She's dead.
She did. She did. She did.
She already did.
All right. So let's talk about the next part of, the Disney Plus slate. So we have Loki, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, WandaVision.
Still the best name. Still the best name.
WandaVision.
WandaVision.
Will there be a scene where they're in a boat and WandaVision is going, it's just going to go faster and faster? No? Okay.
We also have What If?
I think that's the best one.
And Hawkeye.
What If is going to be animated, if I'm not,
right.
That's why I think that's going to be the best show.
Just because they can go nuts.
Because like, they can do exactly like the comic books.
Yeah, which
and
is great.
And what's cool, is that from what I heard, is that they're actually using the MCU history and timeline and mess that up with the What If.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. So
you can do the whole like, oh, what if, and this was an actual one, and then this is in the multiverse kind of deal.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be
Because, yeah, I mean, we talked about how, like, in our Endgame review, how Cap going back, or actually the whole time travel thing, how that messed up the whole thing, and how the Sorcerer Supreme said, you know, removing this XYZ creates all that stuff. So, yeah, What If will be a lot of fun. For me, for this one, Hawkeye is the one that I'm really excited for, just because I'm a huge, like, there's a comic run by Jonathan Hickman on Hawkeye, which is, like, it's, have you guys seen The Raid?
Of course, yeah.
But it's basically, the whole comic is that. Like, Hawkeye goes back to his roots, and he's just a broke dude living in a building in New York, and he has to protect it from these Russian mob. And it's a guy with arrows, and it's fun. It's low-key. Not low-key, but, you know, it's low-stakes kind of good characterization. And I think it'll do Jeremy Renner a big favor if it's not just a straight-up movie, just to kind of see how he does on his own. So that's my pick.
I'm really curious to see WandaVision, just because
you want to say WandaVision.
I want it to be
your WandaVision.
No, I want it to be like something.
WandaVision.
What?
WandaVision?
It's WandaVision. That's dark chocolate.
I'd like to see that version.
That's all exclusive to them.
That's Disney Plus Plus Plus. Sorry, Disney Triple X.
Yes. Triple Plus. The X kind of.
That's tilted.
No, so I want there to be a pitch meeting like 3-4 years ago, and they're, look, we have this thing called Disney Plus. We need a comedy. We need like a buddy. Like, we'll call it WandaVision, where it's Wanda trying to explain basic normal things to Vision.
So it's a robot.
It's gonna be like Mork and Mindy.
I love it. It's perfect strangers with superpowers. Instead of Cousin Larry, it's Vision. Amazing.
I mean, great. I'm pretty sure that's not, but I'm excited if that's the case.
What if? What if WandaVision was a comedy?
Oh, man. No, I'm pretty excited to see what they do with, and again, so we have the romance perfect strangers thing with WandaVision. Mm-hmm. You have the buddy comedy now with Hawkeye and, or not Hawkeye,
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that they're still insisting calling it Falcon and the Winter Soldier when, crap, I'm forgetting the actor's name. But on his Instagram or Twitter, one of those, he actually announced that he was being fitted for his Captain
America. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know, will it be, and again, my version of this is, Winter Soldier and... And Falcon, like, you have to take the days. Okay, this day, I'm going to be Captain America.
I just thought of something... Don't. This is just stupid. But so he's.
We talked about WandaVision.
But he's the Falcon, right?
Yes.
But he's also Captain America.
Yes.
Can he be Captain Falcon?
I made him.
And you know what he does when he starts attacking?
Falcon punch. I heard he's banned at tournaments.
Oh, man.
Wow, the intersection of that conversation.
That's right.
We have lost our path here. But let's go back to, let's kind of keep it low-key. With low-key. Tone low-key. Tone low-key.
That's a great one. What if Tone Low was Asgardian?
He'd be dying. That's
is mine.
That's a great Idris Elba.
Okay.
All right, I love it.
That's the best fan fiction I've ever heard in my life. I gotta Photoshop this.
First thing in the morning, kid. From the mind of Dennis Hummel. Tone Loki.
Jesus Christ. Sorry, people.
I don't know if it's the heat or the...
No, I'm getting sweating and crying at the same time.
I think we need to record in your room, your house next time.
Okay, okay, so let's overall, what are we thinking with Phase 4? Is it going to be good?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
Especially considering that, I can't believe I'm saying this. We're Spider-Man and all this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
No, remember they were talking about how like they left the big properties out.
Okay, I didn't hear that part.
James Gunn left out Guardians 3 because he's working on Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
They left out Black Panther 2.
No, but I thought that they so they left it out, but it's still gonna be.
They're all Phase 4.
I thought Guardians 3 was gonna be 5.
No, I thought it was 3.
Okay, I could be wrong then. Okay.
Yeah. Unless they're doing, that wouldn't make any sense.
That's already a lot, though, if they add Guardians 3 and
Black Panther 2.
Yeah.
Considering that, it's supposed to be a three-year process?
20 till 21, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like...
It's cramming a lot of crap into it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I really think that we talked about this before, where the whole, not overexposure, what is it? Like, just being beaten over the head with, like, the same properties... Or similar stories, it just doesn't get, you know, tired.
Gotcha.
And having the fact that they're adding TV shows.
Yeah.
Where, for me, it was already a problem having to follow, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, in order to get small references in stuff. Where now you're expecting everybody to follow every show. I mean, I hope they're really, really not... Like, the ultimate payoff has to be that you have to watch everything. Mm-hmm. I really hope that's...
Hopefully it's like 8 episodes each. Yeah.
Or less, something like that. Yeah, something easy to consume. I mean, I know it can't be 2 hours like a movie, but maybe like, 5-6 limited run should be fine.
We'll see.
So, I think we're running low on time, so let's do like quick hits. Okay. Thoughts on Star Trek Picard?
Star Trek Picard, I'm excited. The fact that Jeri Ryan has... Not that she hasn't had work, because I actually checked her IMDb. Mm-hmm. She's been busy since...
Isn't she on... Did she do...
She did, like...
She did The Flash, right? No?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. She did, like, a bunch of stuff.
She was on Arrow, too. Anyway,
yeah, but I'm actually pretty excited for it.
On a scale of 7 or 9.
That was good.
How long were you waiting for that?
I just thought of that right now.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Nine.
That's being generous, bro.
No, I liked the portions, and admittedly, I dropped CBS just because there was only one show that
was actually... Yeah, and it's on hiatus now, right?
Yeah. But the one thing that I was really, really kind of disappointed in is that they really made the newest Star Trek more into an action show.
Okay.
One of the beauties of... The beauty and the thing that makes Star Trek different than Star Wars is the fact that you can have quiet moments, and those quiet moments are oftentimes the most powerful ones. You know, and I'm hoping that this is more of a return to the way it is, because you can't have Captain Picard, you can't have Sir Patrick Stewart, like, you know,
running in. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that it's going to be a more less hectic and more nuanced take on it. But the fact that you're seeing different characters from the past, the fact that you have 7 of 9,
mm-hmm.
and there's rumors at the very least 2 episodes is going to be directed by Jonathan Frakes. Frakes, whatever his name is.
Riker. Frakes. I mean, Riker. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty excited. The fact that you have a version of Data there.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking forward to it. My wife kind of said it on Facebook, and I'm saying it now. Once that show comes out, I'm going to be subscribing to CBS.
Nice. Tom Cruise surprising Comic-Con with Top Gun footage.
Cool.
All right. You going to go see it? But
obviously.
Okay. Yeah, no, we have. I would be remiss if I didn't watch that, but I didn't realize how old he looked.
Yes. See, that's the problem with like digital now. It's like you can see everything. But the thing is, from
4K is not his
this friend. This is what I thought was actually cool is. We all know Tom Cruise does his own things now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know Tom Cruise, but
no, yeah. Well, you didn't meet him that one time I brought him over.
But Thomas Cruise,
yeah.
I was going to say Timothy.
I would prefer Timothy.
Timothy Cruz.
Wait, did you hear who the bad guys are?
I thought it was planes.
You know who's flying the other drones?
Ivan Drago.
Oh.
Seven Pig?
No. Who would be the best person that Dennis
would... Ice?
No, that'd be awesome too.
Wait, the guy from Iron Eagle?
What Louis a crossover. Gossett Jr.? What a crossover.
No, Will Smith.
No
Shut
way.
Up, really?
Yeah.
Shut up. Dennis is like throwing money now. I was like, yes.
Yeah. I'm watching it.
I'm just kidding.
Because damn.
But yeah.
No, shut up.
If the fact that me and Dennis and I watched Top Gun in 3D.
Yes, I remember.
So that means, you know, we got to watch this. Probably in 3D. So we can play with our boys.
Jeez. Last one. Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Finally shown footage of it. I know we're big Kevin Smith fans. What do we think?
I think Jason Mewes looks terrible, but in a good way.
Okay.
Because he's been sober for like, what, a decade now?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. And Kevin Smith lost a ton of weight after his...
that's the thing I was going to say. When I first saw the trailer, I was like, who's that?
Who's wearing Bob's trench coat? Oh.
That's just medium right there.
Yeah. Shannon Elizabeth there?
Yeah, Shannon Elizabeth.
Ben Affleck is going to be there.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Vanderbeek and what's his name?
Jason Biggs
from the original. So it looks like a great continuation. I hope it's done in the same tone of humor that he's kept for the VSQverse, and he doesn't try to go like what he tried to do with Zack and Miri and make it a Judd Apatow movie.
Mm-hmm.
So. Keep it in his voice, and I think it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, just today too. I don't know if you guys saw, but the whole premise is that they're trying to shut down a reboot or a remake. Yeah. It's very meta of Bluntman versus Chronic. So for Chronic, they announced it at Comic-Con. Melissa Benoist, who's playing Supergirl in CW, will be her. And just today, they just announced that Val Kilmer will be playing Bluntman.
Nice.
So it's a nice little meta, you know, here's Batman
Does Ben have a mustache? Or...
No, that's Kevin Smith, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said that he has three Batman in the movie.
Oh, wait. So there's a three.
Affleck,
Kilmer, and I forgot someone else.
Matt Damon.
No, it was...
Kevin Conroy?
There's only a few.
Yeah.
And...
It can't
be. Didn't say
the ghost of Adam West. Ghost of Adam West. I don't know.
Yeah, but he said he put in one of his posts. I have three Batman that are in this movie.
Wow. Okay.
And everyone was saying Kilmer was going to be one of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
George Clooney.
Probably Clooney.
I know. Kind of just a addition to it. You said Benoist, whatever her name is.
Benoist.
There was the CW. What do you call this? The thing on the cons. The
panel.
Panels, there you go. Did you hear some of the things that the news there?
They gave her pants.
Yeah.
Yep.
They gave her pants, and which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
The one thing I don't like is that she now has bangs. She looks terrible. I'm sorry if that sounds bad, but...
Supergirl, I know.
You have the one real quick thing is the Crisis thing, right?
Oh yeah, there's gonna be the big crossover this coming year.
The CW.
Yeah, so besides Melissa Benoist bangs, I know I wasn't a big fan. I was like the pants, I was like, oh cool.
Yeah,
is Helen Slater coming back?
I know, because yeah, one of the things is that all these you posted it on our Facebook.
Slater? Yes, Kelly Slater's gonna surf onto the big.
Kelly Slater's a Silver Surfer.
Because you posted the news thing. Old. That's Tom Welling might be coming back.
Yes.
Brandon Routh, who's already playing Ray Palmer, who was the Atom on Legends, will be reprising or at least playing a part as Superman. So it's really exciting.
His version.
Yeah, right. His version of Superman. And then, yeah, Tom Welling will be reprising his role as Smallville or from Smallville.
Dean Cain is knocking on the door somewhere.
Still going, waiting for
me
call.
In. Let me in. Dear God, let me in.
Do you remember that John Mulaney bit about Dean Cain?
No.
Where he was on Law & Order one time, and then, like, he's like, what if the girl that was watching is like, is that Dean Cain? Just like it's a rapist.
Oh, jeez.
Didn't he have a movie? Like, a TV movie?
Yeah, I think he was.
He's done stuff.
Yeah, he played like a killer or something like that. I remember, or a rapist or something like that. Really tough, tough run for him.
Ted Bundy, right?
No, he played Scott Peterson.
Oh, yeah. One of them.
He got his wiener. Was he the guy who got his wiener cut off?
No, no. Scott Peterson was that guy.
Oh, I don't know who that guy is. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't look it up, people. If you don't remember Scott Peterson, think you're lucky.
Isn't the guy that Cartman tricked into eating his
drink? That's Scott Tenorman.
Okay, you check it. Thank you.
Delicious tears. Tears are delicious. Wow, this episode went all over the place. Well, so let's wrap it up. I think we went way over time, so thank you for the conversation. So if you want to hear more of this, go to our website. Or wait, I'm going out of order. You go first.
Oh, yeah. My website.
Boy, sorry.
Well, you pay the bill. Okay. So our website, you get to call it yours.
TwoFanboysOneCasual.com. As usual, we have all of our old episodes and all of our current articles. All
right. On Facebook, find us TwoFanboys and A Filthy Casual. Every time the podcast goes live, we'll be posting it there. Any fun articles, videos, news, we'll be posting it there too.
And then on Instagram, Twitter, same TwoFanboysOneCasual.
All right. Well, that does it for now. That's a recap of Comic-Con. Hopefully, we get to go to more cons this year. LA Comic-Con's coming up, among other things. And if there's any events.
For the love of God, if you can get us tickets to Comic-Cons.
Let us know. We'll do anything, man. Harold will do anything.
Yeah.
Harold.
Go to the hospital again.
Yeah.
His handle is at H of Spades. Slide into his DMs.
And my handle...
I don't know.
Anyway. 7 of 9.
I was going to say something really inappropriate. 7 of 69.
Wow.
Let's wrap it up, man.
You wrap it up.
I thought that was it. No. Oh, this is Lewis. I'm sorry.
This is TwoFanboys and A Filthy Casual. Hope you enjoyed our episode. This is Lewis.
That was Dennis.
And he is
my I'm still Harold, right?
Yeah, okay.
And you're Wonder Vision. Don't look.
Don't look.